This is the WGN Radio Theater with Carl Amari.
Dragnet.
The Jack Benny Program.
I'm that man. Matt Dillon, United States Marshal.
Yes, it's Maxwell House Coffee Time, starring George Burns and Gracie Allen.
Good evening, friends of the Inner Sanctum.
We offer you Escape.
It's time once again for another comedy episode of Our Miss Brooks.
Suspense.
Countdown for blast-off. X minus one.
Richard Diamond, private detective.
The Johnson Wax Program with Fibber McGee and Molly.
Kraft presents The Great Gildersleeve.
Yeah.
It's 6 minutes after 11 p.m. here on WGN, and this is the WGN Radio Theater. It's our Saturday show. It's our first Saturday show, Lisa Wolf, my co-host.
I'm excited. I'm smiling. I hope you guys can see that. You can watch the show at WGNradio.com.
That's right. This is program 39 in the series. This is January 2nd, 2016. I wrote 15 on my thing here.
It might take you a while.
Oh, my gosh.
Oh, my gosh.
Oh, wait. I made a mistake.
No.
I made one in 1977.
You?
And now one today.
Well, at least you admitted it.
Mike Gastella is here as well. And we are going to have classic radio shows for you all the way till 2 o'clock in the morning. We have been on the air for 30-plus weeks on Sunday nights.
We're starting to lose track, which is a good thing.
That's right. On Sunday nights, we have been here 11 till 2 a.m. And now they said, hey, you know what? Why don't we double your time? Come on in on Saturdays. Lisa, Mike, and I are doing that on Saturdays, and we're just as tickled to death.
Are you
it,
tickled,
right?
Mike?
I am, absolutely.
Everybody's tickled.
Hey, I remembered to be here, so.
That's
you
fine.
Know, we also should mention we have a new producer for our Saturday show, Shane Reardon. Say hello.
Hi, guys. How you doing?
Hey.
I'm tickled to be here.
We're tickled with you.
Great.
Shane, it's an honor and a pleasure to have you as our producer on Saturdays. And Dan Long is our producer on Sunday. So we have our team is growing. It's growing here. And our listeners are growing as well. We really appreciate you joining us on Saturdays. Please also mark down that we're here on Sunday nights as well. We're here from 11 till 2 a.m. on Sundays as well. And it's we have some great shows for you tonight. We have the Jack Benny New Year's Eve program, 1939. We have the Man Called X, sort of an action-adventure program. A secret detective type of secret agent kind of program. And then The Six Shooter starring James Stewart, a good Western. But all of this is brought to you in part by our sponsor, Cat's Pride. Shane, you have this. There we go.
It's time for Celebrity Scoop, brought to you by Cat's Pride. Meow.
This actress stars as a foreign war correspondent in the upcoming movie Whiskey Tango Foxtrot, based on the memoir The Taliban Shuffle, Strange Days in Afghanistan and Pakistan.
All right, we're going to give away a $25 Lou Malnati's gift card. If you can name this celebrity, here's a hint. She played Kate in Baby Mama from 2008.
All right, you. My job gives me access to the most nutritious, chemical-free food in the world. I don't want my kid born addicted to high-fructose corn syrup.
All right, if you know who that celebrity is, call us right now, 312-981-7200. Phone lines are open. You can win a $25 gift card for Lou Malnati's. We'll find our winner after this break.
Welcome back to our very first Saturday show on the WGN Radio Theater. We are playing Celebrity Scoop. Let's hear that movie clip one more time.
All right.
That's okay. Either way, we can put Ed on the line.
Hi there.
Hi, how are you doing? Welcome
to Saturday Night.
Thank you. Welcome
Thanks,
to our Saturday Night show. You are our first potential winner here. Can you tell me who that is?
Sure. That's Tina Fey.
That is Tina Fey. She is in the upcoming movie Whiskey Tango Foxtrot, and of course she was in Baby Mama. And your winner, Ed, you've won a $25 gift card for Lou Malnati's, my favorite pizza. I hope that you enjoy that. You can check them out at loumalnati's.com or visit one of their 42 Chicagoland locations, okay?
Sounds fantastic. Thanks so much.
Thanks, Ed, for listening to our first Saturday show.
All righty. Yes, indeed. We're here Saturdays and Sunday nights, 11 p.m. till 2 a.m. We play classic radio shows. We're playing six classic radio shows every weekend, three on Saturday night and three on Sunday night. And the first show we're going to tune into is the Jack Benny program. Sound good?
Oh, that sounds great. It's a New Year's Eve program,
We all know that Jack Benny was one of the most popular comedians of all time. He had a very, very, very popular television show, of course. He had in his radio show. He was in movies. He was on stage, screen. And he had this persona of a man who was all, you know, kind of stingy. But in real life, he really wasn't stingy. He was very, very nice to all of the people that worked with him. Don Wilson, Phil Harris, Dennis Day, Mary Livingston, which is his wife, Rochester, you know, Rochester Eddie, Rochester Anderson. These were all people that he had for years with him, very loyal guy. And he was just really, there was no one else like him. He was Jack Benny. And we are going to tune into a Jack Benny episode for you now. This is going back to New Year's Eve, December 31st, 1939. Jack and all his gang. And Jack is planning on taking Gladys Zabisco out for New Year's Eve, but she breaks their date. Sort of breaks his heart. This is sponsored by Jell-O, was heard on NBC. Part one now of the Jack Benny program.
J-E-L-L. The Jell-O program, starring Jack Benny with Mary Livingston, Phil Harris, Dennis Day, and yours truly, Don Wilson. The orchestra opens the program with Do I Love You? Do I Love You, played by the orchestra. And now, ladies and gentlemen, in just a few short hours, we will welcome in the new year, 1940. So without further ado, we bring you a man who was once 19 and once 40, Jack Benny.
Hello again. This is Jack Benny, who is rapidly closing in on Social Security talking. And Don, you can go right ahead and kid about my age because I'm not the least bit sensitive. Remember that famous saying, Don, a man is just as old as he feels.
How do you feel, Jack?
Ooh, Johnny. But I'm only joking, Don. I'm one guy who welcomes every new year. It brings new life, new hopes, new calendars. Boy, they sent me enough calendars this year to paper my living room.
Now, Jack, don't tell me you hung up all the calendars people sent you.
Why not, Don? They have gorgeous paintings on them. I got a honey from my tailor. It's a picture of a beautiful Italian girl sitting in a gondola with her reflection in the moonlit waters of the Grand Canal in Venice. Oh, it's a Lulu.
From your tailor, huh?
Yes, and right under the picture is this Italian girl's name, Cleso Remito. That's the most artistic hint I ever got.
You think it'll work?
I doubt it. When they get subtle with me, I burn up. And say, Don, I got the cutest calendar from that little restaurant down the street where I eat once in a while.
Oh, you mean Ginsburg's Hanging Gardens?
That's it. Well, their calendar has a picture of the restaurant, and right under it is their new slogan, Ginsburg's Grill, where the matzo ball meets the soup. Isn't that original?
It certainly is.
Hey, Jackson, did you get one of those calendars from the Wilshire Bowl?
No, Phil, I didn't.
You didn't get one with my picture on it?
Your picture on it?
Why, certainly, yeah, the one where I'm standing with a baton in my hand, leading a 75-piece Philharmonic Orchestra.
No, what's the title of it?
It Can't Happen Here.
You've said it. Phil, where did you ever have a picture taken with 75 musicians?
Ocean Park. They do it with mirrors.
I knew there was a trick to it. Oh, hello, Mary.
Hello, Jack. Happy New Year, everybody.
Happy New Year, Mary.
What are y'all talking about?
Well, I was just telling Don and Phil about the calendars I got this year. Gee, I got them hanging in every room.
Did you tell them about the one you got from your life insurance company?
Oh, that silly thing. They got their nerve.
What was it, Mary?
Just a picture of a hand with two fingers crossed.
Hey, they aren't so worried. See, I wonder who thinks up all those calendars.
They sent me a bunch of them, too. And, Jack, you ought to see the swell one I got from the May Company.
You got one from the May Company?
Yeah. There's a beautiful picture of the store, and right under it, it says, Come back, all is forgiven.
Well, it's... It's nice to know there's a job waiting for you, just in case you get fresh tonight.
Well, I ought to get fresh after that Christmas present you sent me. A fine gift, a saucer.
Now, wait a minute, Mary. It might not look like much, but that saucer I gave you happens to be real pewter.
It certainly does.
Well, there's no use talking to you. You just don't know a genuine antique when you see it. That saucer came over on the Mayflower.
I believe you still had coffee in it from the Pilgrims.
Well, the Pilgrims made very good coffee, so stop complaining. Did you have a nice Christmas, Don?
Oh, yes, I did very well. In fact, I got some of the most beautiful presents I've ever seen.
You did? What'd you get, Don?
Well, I got some gold cufflinks, a moving picture camera, a camel's hair overcoat, a golf ball, and a diamond wristwatch.
Well.
Thanks for the golf ball, Jack.
You're welcome, Don. You do play golf, don't you?
No.
Oh, well, you really ought to take it up, Don. It's great exercise for a fellow like you, and there's so many beautiful courses around here.
That's fine. You give a guy one golf ball, and right away you want him to join a country club.
Well?
Why don't you give him a porthole and let him buy a yacht?
Mary, before you continue, remember the Maine, the Alamo, and the May Company. Anyway, Don, I'm sure glad Santa Claus is so nice to you.
Oh, yes, I'll never forget this Christmas.
I, too, had a joyous Yuletide.
Did you, Jazbo? What did Santa have in his bag for you?
Well, besides that golf ball, thanks.
You're welcome.
Besides that, I got some neckties, a gold keychain, and a lovely cashier sweater.
A what?
A cashier sweater. You know, that soft, woolly stuff. That's cashmere.
Isn't that awful? Cashier sweater. Well, so much for the presents. And now, Dennis. Dad, we're ready for a song. How about it?
Oh, no dialogue, eh?
Oh, I'm sorry. Oh, I'm sorry, Dennis. You, Hey, really, I am sorry. You should have a little something to do here. Tell me, did you have a nice Christmas?
Yes, well.
That's good. Did you get a lot of presents?
Yeah, lots of them.
I see. Did you enjoy them?
I sure did.
Well, that's fine. That's fine. Fine.
Well, no laugh so far. I get the better thing, eh?
That's a good idea. Go ahead, Dennis. Hold it a minute. Come in.
Mr. Benny?
Yes?
Did you get that calendar I sent you of Lady Godiva on a horse?
Yes, I did.
That was me with my hair down. Goodbye.
You ought to see him, folks. His head looks like a honeydew melon with ears. Sing, Dennis.
You are the promise kiss of springtime that makes a lonely winter seem long. You are the breathless hush of evening that trembles on the brink of a lovely song. Oh, willing someday I'll know that moment divine when all.
That was All the Things You Are, sung by Dennis Day. And just think, Dennis, that's your last song this year. That's the last time we'll hear your voice in 1939.
Gee, time certainly flies, doesn't it?
I'll say it does. You know, Dennis, it seems like only yesterday I was your age. Only yesterday I was 19.
And the day before yesterday, Washington crossed the Delaware.
Mary, I'm talking to Dennis. Wouldn't hurt if we had a little bit of sentiment this evening. As I was saying, Dennis, 1939 is soon coming to an end. In just a few more hours, the old year will pass right out.
And I won't be far behind.
Last year, you won by 8 lengths.
All right, that's the first portion of the Jack Benny program, December 31st, 1939, a New Year's Eve program here on the WGN Radio Theater. It's our first Saturday. We're so excited. We're here every Saturday and Sunday playing classic radio shows, all your favorites, Jack Benny included, The Shadow, Suspense, Inner Sanctum, Gunsmoke. You name it. We have it all here. Right, Lisa Wolf?
Right. And if you have a favorite, just post it for us on our Facebook page at WGN Radio Theater, and we will play that for you.
Yes, we will. All right, let's take a break, and we'll come back with a lot more. All right. And Lisa mentioned that we have a Facebook page. That is how you can contact us here at the WGN Radio Theater. Just search WGN Radio Theater on Facebook. Please like us, too. We really want to build our likes. And if there's something you want to hear, if there's a classic radio show that you remember, or you maybe your parents talked about it, or your grandparents, and you want to hear The Lone Ranger, or Boston Blackie, or Lights Out, we had a last week a listener called, Lisa, and said that they wanted to hear Pete Kelly's Blues. Now, I know you were on vacation. You don't remember this. Jack Webb starred in a very obscure series called Pete Kelly's Blues, and we're going to play one next week here on the WGN Radio Theater for that listener. And that's all you have to do is just post it on our Facebook page. We also have a website, and our website is WGN Radio Theater. I should say WGNRadioTheater.com. Just go to WGNRadioTheater.com, and you'll see all of the information on this show and also all of the shows that we're going to play. We have a full schedule there. And if you click through to our main website, there's all kinds of stuff at our store. If you like classic radio shows and you want to purchase them on CD or digital download, we have hundreds and hundreds of classic radio shows available, all digitally remastered. Mike Estella, our producer here, executive producer, is the guy who cleans all these shows up. And that's why he looks like he does.
He's clean.
Yes,
yeah.
Totally.
He's very clean.
That's why I look worn out.
Yeah, looks very worn. He came in here today. I showed him my phone. I said, here, read this text. He goes, I can't. I'm too exhausted to even read the text. He that's how tired he is.
We're going to pour a little caffeine into him. Don't worry.
Well, I've been editing like crazy because I'm going to be on vacation this month. I'm going on my honeymoon. So I'm trying to get all the work done so I can be out there and know you guys will be okay.
Yeah.
We'll try.
The only honeymoon I ever want to do again is the honeymoon. Mooners. I'll watch those all day long.
I'm with you on that.
That's about it. I think I've had enough of the
honeymoons.
Yeah, I think so.
It's over after the honeymoon.
Yeah. So I want to remind all of our listeners that we're here Saturday and Sunday nights. It's so much fun. We've been here. This is our 39th show, and we're playing a Jack Benny program from 1939.
This is kind of like our Saturday honeymoon.
That is.
It is. Tonight is our Saturday honeymoon.
Right.
So that's exciting.
Yes, it is.
I hope it doesn't, go downhill after the honeymoon.
No. I mean, hopefully not. So Jack Benny used to say he's 39 years of age.
That's right. Forever.
He said, I'm not getting any older than 39. This show that we're playing from Jack Benny's from 1939, and it's our
39th week.
WGN Radio Theater. That's a little weird.
That's exciting.
We should go play the lotto and make sure 39 is in that number.
All right. You have fun with that.
Don't you think?
Yeah.
So still to come tonight and into tomorrow morning, we have the conclusion of the Jack Benny program. Then we have The Man Called X, which is sort of a secret agent radio series with Herbert Marshall. And then we'll tune into a great Western starring Jimmy Stewart in The Six Shooter. He played Britt Ponsett, good Western on The Six Shooter. So that's all coming your way here on the WGN Radio Theater. Don't go away. Don't turn that dial. We'll be here. We're back. Thank you, Mr. Jennings. And this is the WGN Radio Theater. I'm Carl Amari. Lisa Wolf is here. Mike Costella, Shane Reardon. That's the team here on Saturday nights, 11 p.m. till 2 a.m. every Saturday. And then we're here on Sunday nights with three more hours of classic radio. And I'll tell you what, it's been a lifelong dream of mine ever since I've been interested in classic radio, which was age 12 is when I first got hooked on it.
1930s.
And now I'm 118.
I know.
So, but all my life that I've been involved in with classic radio, I've always dreamed about being on this very radio station playing these shows. Because this signal reaches practically the whole country and parts of Canada. And to be able to share this these magical classic radio shows with practically the entire nation on one station is really, really a dream come true.
And this particular station is, it's the best.
This is the legendary 720 WGN. We're in the Allstate studio here. If you're walking by Michigan Avenue any Saturday or Sunday night from 11 till 2 a.m., you'll see Lisa's beaming, bright, beautiful face, her smile.
You can wave. We always wave back.
We wave back.
We're the friendly bunch.
And, so...
And we accept food.
We do.
And gifts.
Definitely. And money.
I like presents.
No.
We've had people come with cakes and delicious things.
Yes,
and
right.
We never turn them away.
No, we don't.
Ever. Especially if it's chocolate.
We like to eat.
We like
this
chocolate.
This is very true. All right, so we are tuning in to the Jack Benny program. Want to hear the conclusion now?
I sure do.
Let's go back to December 31st, 1939. Here's the conclusion to the Jack Benny program.
Well, I suppose all you guys are going to celebrate tonight, make whoopee and everything. Are you stepping out tonight, Don?
Yeah, I'm going over to the Florentine Gardens and see Sally Rand do her fan dance.
Why, Don, you're blushing already. How about you, Mary? Where are you going?
I'm going over to Ginger Rogers' house. She's having a whole mob of people over, but she told me not to tell you, so forget it.
Well, I know why. She's sore on account of those Christmas cards I sold her.
What's the matter with the cards, Jack?
I told Rochester just to print Ginger Rogers on them, and he underlined the gin. He has to get so fancy.
Well, Jack, I see you've got your tuxedo on. What are you going to do tonight?
Me? Oh, I've got a date down with my girlfriend. And we're stepping out high, wide, and handsome.
I'll bet.
Well, we are. I'm going out with Gladys tonight. I got a big roll of bills, and I'm going to shoot the words.
What's that bulge in your hip pocket?
That's my dime bank. If necessary, I'm going to crack that open. Gladys and I are going to town.
Well, Jack, as long as you've got a heavy date, you ought to have another tuxedo. That one looks awful with those moth holes on the shoulders.
Oh, it's New Year's Eve, and they throw a little confetti on me, who'll see them? Gladys won't mind.
Oh, boy, am I going to have fun tonight.
You are, Dennis?
Yeah, I'm taking my girl to a midnight show.
Wow! Well, what's so thrilling about that?
We aren't going to watch the picture.
Oh, yes. Those were the days. Well, anyway, fellas, I'm going to have to leave early tonight, so before I go...
Hey, Jackson, who is this Dame Gladys? Is she in the movies?
No, but she could be. She tested for the part of Scarlett O'Hara in Gone with the Wind.
Who didn't?
You didn't.
Take that back, sir. Or I'll fuss with you.
Sorry, ma'am. May I offer my humble apologies?
Rasters, come here. There's a weevil in my jeweler.
All right, Phil. We've gone far enough.
No, we haven't, Colonel. Ladies and gentlemen, next time you're in the mood for a little old tempting dessert, why don't you run down to that little old grocery store and ask him for a little old package of Jell-O?
Mm.
It comes in six little old flavors... Strawberry, raspberry, cherry, orange, lemon, and little old lime. Sure enough.
That's very good, Colonel Wilson. Powerful good.
Hey, Mr. Benny, what's the big idea?
It's payday, and we're all going to get Confederate money.
Well, I suppose that's hay. Anyway, fellas, getting back to wherever we were, as I was saying, I've got a date, so I have to leave pretty soon. But before I go, I want to tell you all to be here early next Sunday because we're going to do a very important play.
What's it going to be, Jack?
We're going to present our version of William Perlberg's outstanding Columbia film production. That sensational stage hit and screen masterpiece. That dramatic cinema achievement, Golden Boy. Thank you, Goldie. So remember, fellas, be here on time next week, as this is a long play.
Well,
I'm going to run along now. Can't keep Gladys waiting. Take over the show, will you, fellas?
Sure, Jack. We'll carry on. Say, did you hear this one, folks? I call my girl Grapefruit because every time I squeeze her, she hits me in the eye.
Squeeze me, Phil. I'll hit you in both of them. Now I am leaving.
Oh, don't go yet, Jack. I want you to hear my New Year's poem.
You can read it later, Mary. I haven't time now. Oh, just when I'm in a hurry. Come in.
Hiya, Buck. Happy New Year, everybody.
Andy, if you'd have been a second later, you'd have missed me. I was just leaving. I'm going to have a big night tonight.
Me too, Buck. I'm taking Ma and Pa over at the Wilshire Bowl.
Oh, over to Phil's place, eh? So you're spending a little dough on the old folks.
Oh, it won't cost me nothing. Pa writes all of Phil's material.
Well, I knew it wasn't Alexander Wilcox. So you're taking Ma and Pa to the Wilshire Bowl, eh? Are they going formal?
Yeah, you ought to see Pa. Top hat, white tie, and jug.
Well, taking a jug of corn to Harris's place, eh? That's like carrying coals to Newcastle. Well, I'll bet you have fun at that. Is your Ma going to wear an evening gown, Andy?
I think so. She just had her tattoo retouched.
On her arm was starting to fade. Come to think of it.
Well, I gotta run along now, Buck. Happy New Year, everybody!
Wait a minute, Andy. I'm leaving right away. I'll walk downstairs with you. See who it is, will you, Mary?
I got it. Hello? Yes, he's here. Oh, Jack, it's for you. It's Gladys.
Gladys? Give me that phone. You better run along, Andy. See you later.
Okay, Buck.
Hello, Gladys. Yeah, this is Speedy. I'm coming right over. What? You can't go. But Gladys, I got my tuxedo on. Yeah, I got reservations and everything. Gee.
Tell her about your dime bank.
Quiet. Now look, Gladys, of course I believe you, but gee, it's New Year's Eve. You gotta go. Oh, gee whiz, Gladys, won't you change your mind?
Of course I will.
Thanks. Mary, stay out of it. Now, look, Gladys, isn't there some way you can make it? But, honey, I got two tickets for dinner. I'll be so stuffed I can't walk. Well, all right. All right, so long, then. See you next week, Gladys. Goodbye. Fine thing. Well, what are you all staring at? Gladys had a very good excuse. And she's nuts about me, too. Well, she is.
Well, don't take it so hard, Jackson. Come on out with me tonight. I'll get you a date.
No, thanks. I don't feel like going anyplace.
Oh, come on with us, Jack. We'll have a lot of fun.
No, Don, thanks just the same. I'm going to drop over at Ginsburg, have a cup of coffee, and then go home. Well, look after the show, Don. Happy New Year, everybody.
Happy New Year, Jack.
So long.
Gee, I wish Jack had waited and gone along with us.
Yeah, no fun being alone on New Year's Eve.
I'll say it isn't.
Pardon me, fellas, I forgot my cane. Here it is. Well, so long. New Year's Eve and I gotta go home. Oh, well, it's just like finding the money, I guess. Happy New Year, Mike.
Oh, hello, Mr. Benny, and a Happy New Year to you, too. Is your program over?
No, Mike, I just left early.
Oh, Stefanotti.
No, I'm just going over to Ginsburg's, have a cup of coffee, and then home.
Good night. Good night, sir. Good night. Oh, by the way, Mr. Benny, thanks very much for that golf ball.
That's all right. So long, Mike. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year, sir.
Everybody sure having a good time tonight.
Happy New Year, Mr. Yippee!
Happy New Year.
Where'd you get that derby?
Ow. Hey, cut that out. A brand new hat, too. Boy, what a crowd. Well, here's Ginsburg's. Hello, Sam.
Happy New Year, Mr. Benny. Did you got my calendar?
Yes, I did, Sam. I liked it better than last year.
It's nothing fancy, and still it's for nothing, you know?
Yes, it's lovely, Sam.
Are you all alone tonight?
Yep, just dropped in for a cup of coffee.
With a tuxedo on, it's 5 cents extra.
All right, I'll pay it.
Yeah, but with that tuxedo, let it go.
All right, Sam. Oh, hello.
Hello.
Coffee, please.
Would you like a sandwich or some toast with it?
No, thanks. Just coffee.
Want a little cream with it?
No, just some black coffee.
Gee, I'm sorry about that.
That's all right, Gladys. That's all right. Forget it.
But honest, Jack, Mamie promised she'd work for me tonight.
Mamie. All the time it's Mamie. Couldn't have let me know before the last minute.
I'm sorry, Speedy.
Well, see, you're wearing my corsage and on that uniform yet. Forget about the coffee. I'm going home.
I'll be through at 3:00.
At 3:00, I'll be snoring. Goodbye.
Well, if that's the way you feel about it, here's your golf ball back.
Keep it. Always blames everything on Mamie. It's always Mamie's fault. Hey, taxi! Taxi! This is the house on your left, Joe.
Okay.
What does the meter say?
$1.10.
Well, here's $2. It's all yours.
Gee, thanks, Mr. Penny.
You're welcome.
Say, you sure you won't change your mind and go out with me and Mamie?
No, thanks, Joe. Some other night. Good night.
Good night.
I should go out on a party with Mamie after what she did to me. Fine New Year's Eve. Well, I guess I'll turn in.
Is that you, Josephine?
What?
Uh-oh, Happy New Year, boss.
Happy New Year. Rochester, I thought you were going out tonight and celebrate.
No hurry, boss.
Oh.
On Central Avenue, Father Time lingers till we get rolling.
I see. Well, I'm going upstairs and go to bed.
Why don't you sit in the library? It's nice and cozy there with the fireplace and everything.
I guess I will at that. Hey, where's my sister and brother-in-law, Mr. Fenchel?
Your sister, your brother-in-law, and your full-dress suit are out for the evening.
I wish Leonard would stay out of my clothes closet. Where's our boarder, Mr. Billingsley?
He ain't come home yet.
Gee, that fire looks good. I'm going to sit down in this easy chair and relax.
Do you want your bedroom slippers?
Yes, Rochester, take them off. Bring me a glass of milk, will you?
Milk? Wouldn't you like something a little stronger tonight, boss?
No, Rochester.
I got a bottle of champagne right here. Can I pour you a glass?
No, Rochester.
Don't you want just one little sip?
No, I don't want one little sip.
Well, can I even wave the cork under your nose?
Now, all I want is a glass of milk. Well, Rochester, in just a few hours, it'll be 1940. A brand new year.
It ain't getting off to a very good start, is it?
No, it isn't. With all this quarreling and fighting that's going on in the world.
Yeah, that's bad.
Yep. You know, Rochester, what this world needs is more peace, more brotherly love.
Boss, what this world needs is a few less people who are making less people.
You said it. Throw another log in the fire, Rochester, will you?
Okay.
Oh, good evening, Mr. Billingsley.
Good evening, Mr. Benny. Happy New Year.
Same to you. Won't you sit down for a few minutes?
No, thanks. Think I'll turn in. Good night.
Good night. He's an awfully nice fellow, but I wish he wouldn't walk on his hands all the time. Rochester, turn on the radio. I want to hear how our program is getting along.
It's over, ain't it?
Not yet.
So, Happy New Year, Happy New Year. That is our wish. Oh, yes, indeedy. From me and Don and Phil and Dennis and good old Jack. Are you listening, Speedy?
Yes, I'm listening.
Goodbye, goodbye, old 39. Here's good luck to all mankind. So, Happy New Year once again. Good night, dear folks. This is the end.
Gee, I wish I'd have heard the start of that. Turn it off, Rochester.
Okay.
Well, I think I'll get to bed.
Ain't you going to stay up and welcome the new year in?
No, I'm tired. Good night.
Good night. Say, boss, I ain't going to get to bed till early in the morning. Do you mind if I sleep late?
How late do you want to sleep?
Till about Thursday.
All right, have a good time. Good night, Rochester.
Good night.
Ya-da-da-da-dum, da-dee-da-dum. Bum, 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 bum. Hey, Rochester!
What do you want, boss?
Will you please call up Ginsburg's restaurant? I left my cane there.
Okay.
Good night, Rochester. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year, boss.
Happy New Year.
This is the last number of the 13th program in the new Jell-O series, and we will be with you again next Sunday night at the same time. So to be sure to tune in and listen to our version of Golden Boy. Happy New Year, everybody.
Happy New Year. Happy New Year.
Tuesday night, the Aldrich family is on the air, starring Ezra Stone as Henry Aldrich, that lovable hard luck kid. Consult your local newspaper or radio guide for time and stations, and be sure to tune in on the Aldrich family next Tuesday night.
This is the National Broadcasting Company.
There you have it. That's the Jack Benny New Year's Eve show, December 31st, 1939. Going back, what was it? That was about the year you were... You were born, right?
I was born in 37.
Oh, 37. All right, New Year's Eve program, Jack Benny, all the gang. And I'll tell you, he had quite the gang. He had Dennis Day, he had Rochester, Mary Livingston. He had, who else? Who else was on? Phil Harris was on that program. Originally sponsored by Jell-O, as heard on NBC. You know, back then, the main sponsor used to have the name of the show. They would call it the Jell-O program with Jack Benny, or the Chasin' Sanborn Hour with Edgar Bergen and Charlie McCarthy, the Johnson's Wax program with Fibber McGee and Molly. And, but the whole show was all sponsored by one sponsor. It's not like today. You watch television, there's 30 different commercials on there. Now, back then in the golden age of radio and early television, they had one, you know, Admiral would sponsor something, or Lux Soap.
Right.
You know, and they got the naming rights to the show. And they sort of integrated commercials within the show. They would talk about the sponsor and things. So, yeah.
That makes good sense.
It's a little different nowadays.
Things are a little different.
Except when it comes to Cat's Pride. When it comes to Cat's Pride, we talk about Cat's Pride because Cat's Pride is one of our main sponsors here on the WGN Radio Theater. There's our theme. I'm a little embarrassed to come on after David Jennings with his wonderful voice. They probably thought, what is this guy, like a little kid here doing this show after
you
David?
You wish you were a little kid.
David, boy, he's got some pipes up
he's
there, buddy.
He's got a great voice. We
wow.
love your voice,
We love
David.
Your voice, David.
Thank you.
Come and visit us and
yeah,
say
visit
hi,
us.
Okay?
We want to meet you, and you can give me some voice lessons, please.
I can't give you voice lessons. Hell, I never had any.
Natural talent.
Well, Lisa sounds good, and Mike sounds good, and Shane sounds good, and, of course, David sounds good. So that's, hey, you got 4 out of 5.
You surround yourself with talent.
This is what Jack Benny used to do. He surrounded himself with brilliant people. This is what I do here.
Mm-hmm. Huh? I'm not going to argue with you.
I know. I didn't think you would. But thank you, David. Appreciate it. And in this hour of the WGN Radio Theater, we're going to tune in to a great movie star of the 1930s and 40s, Herbert Marshall. He was also a war hero. He was a war hero and then was a big movie star. And he starred as Steve Mitchell, The Man Called X, a good secret agent series. We'll have that for you this hour. And then in our 1 to 2 a.m. hour, we're going to tune into a great Western adventure starring Jimmy Stewart as the six-shooter. And if you are just tuning us in for the first time, welcome aboard. We're here Saturday nights and into Sunday morning, and then we're on here again Sunday nights into Monday morning. It's a little confusing, right?
No, it's not.
It's pretty easy to confuse me.
I was going to say, you're easily confused.
Very
it's Saturdays and Sundays, 11 p.m. to 2 a.m. That's it. You just
so
use
much,
a lot of words.
So much better when Lisa says it. May I just let
words.
You say it from now on?
You can't. You just love to talk.
This is called a reset. You call it it's in radio, they call it a reset. We're here Saturday and Sunday nights, 11 to 2. That work?
That's it.
All right. I'll make it simple. Thanks, Lisa. We play classic radio shows, The Shadow, Jack Benny, Burns and Allen, Gunsmoke, The Whistler, Inner Sanctum, Lights Out, all the great classic radio shows of the 1930s, 40s, and 50s. You can hear them here. We play 6 of them every weekend here on the great Radio 720 WGN. And it's brought to you in part by Cat's Pride.
And maybe we'll get... There we go.
There he is.
It's time for Celebrity Scoop, brought to you by Cat's Pride. Meow.
Jane Got a Gun is an upcoming Western film starring this actress as a woman trying to save her outlaw husband from a gang out to kill him.
All right, so this actress that Lisa's talking about, if you can name her, I'm going to give you a hint. You will win a $25 gift card for Lou Malnati's Pizza. The number to call, 312-981-7200. Now, here's the hint. She played Padme in Star Wars Episode 3, Revenge of the Sith, from 2005.
Something wonderful has happened. Annie, I'm pregnant.
All right, she's pregnant.
I know that voice.
All right, she's going to have a baby. All right, if you can tell us who that is, call us 312-981-7200. Phone lines are open. You'll win a $25 gift card for Lou Malnati's Pizza. We'll find our winner after this break.
Welcome back to the WGN Radio Theater. This is our number one Saturday show. We are playing Celebrity Scoop. Let's hear that movie clip again. And we have Tommy on the line from Chicago. Hey, Tommy.
I'm here.
Ah, nice to talk to you. Great. How you doing?
Hi.
Good. Can you tell us who is starring in Jane Got a Gun and who played Padme in Star Wars Episode 3?
That would be Natalie Portman.
Yes, the beautiful Natalie Portman. You are a winner, Tommy. You have won a $25 gift certificate to Lou Malnati's. Are you a big pizza fan?
I am, and I love Lou Malnati.
Oh, me too. I hope you enjoy that. There's 42 locations, and you can check out their menu at loumalnatis.com, okay?
I appreciate it. The show sounds good.
Thank you so much.
Thanks, Tommy. Appreciate it. We're here Saturdays and Sunday nights, and don't miss that. We want you here both weekend nights now.
We're greedy. We want Saturday and Sundays
yes.
now. So.
We want as many people tuning in to these classic radio shows as possible, so tell a friend. WGN is where you can hear classic radio on the weekends here on the WGN Radio Theater. My co-host Lisa Wolf and my producer Mike Estella and my executive producer in the booth over there, Shane Reardon. right?
You just
nope.
Nope. Try again.
Oh, wait a minute.
Try one more time.
Oh, I goofed up.
It's
sorry.
Okay.
Wait a minute. Let's get it right. Lisa Wolf, my executive producer.
Yeah. Not exactly. Let me help you out. We have our host, Carl Amari. We've got your co-host, Lisa Wolf. We have your executive producer, Mike Estella, and our producer, our new Saturday producer, Shane Reardon. So we have a great team here.
I'm glad you got that all straightened out.
Yeah, I'm glad. You made one more mistake, but I won't tell anyone.
I need another cup of coffee, probably.
I'm going to help you out.
Okay. It's time for The Man Called X. This is a great... This is like a secret agent show. You like James Bond, right?
I sure
Only
do.
Before James Bond was ever invented, they had Steve Mitchell, The Man Called X, right? He was The Man Called X, and it was Herbert Marshall, the star. And the government sent him all over the place to solve problems, you know, to solve, you know, secret agent-y things for the government. And that's what he did, and it's a great series. It was on the air a long, long time. And Herbert Marshall was a terrific actor. He was in a couple of Alfred Hitchcock movies, too. And we're going to tune this in now. Let's go back to a broadcast date of February 12th, 1952. It's called American Relief Supplies to Italy Are Stolen. Here's Herbert Marshall now as The Man Called X.
Now we present Herbert Marshall as The Man Called X. Herbert Marshall as The Man Called X. Wherever there is mystery, intrigue, romance, in all the strange and dangerous places of the world, there you will find The Man Called X. Disaster was the worst to hit Italy since World War II. The raging waters of the River Po, swollen by torrential rains, overflowed their banks and brought death and destruction to thousands of Italian families. And when the flood receded, it left in its wake hunger, disease, a desperate people. And the minds of desperate people provide fertile ground in which to plant the deadly seeds of revolutionary propaganda. Listen to this, Ken. Americans go home. Fascist American pigs. Capitalistic, warmongering Americans. Read the rest for yourself if your stomach can stand it.
No, thanks, Chief. I've heard enough.
But how do you account for it? You'd think that after all we've tried to do for those people, money, flood engineers, food, relief shipments, that, well, you'd think we'd get something a little better than this in return.
I didn't know we were asking the Italian people for anything.
No, of course we're not. We don't want thanks. We're only too glad to help. But confound it, we don't want any kicks in the teeth either.
Chief, that wave of un-American feeling is coming from the flooded areas. The people there are hungry, desperate.
Sure they are. But that's no excuse. We're sending them help.
And are they getting it?
Why, of course they... You mean the village of Chiori?
Yeah. Our main relief distribution center. That's where most of the propaganda is coming from, isn't it?
According to these reports from Bob Cunningham, our relief administrator, it is, yes.
And Cunningham also reported that he's been having trouble there. A warehouse full of relief clothing burned to the ground. Boats bringing American food upriver have been hijacked, disappeared.
Sabotage?
That's my guess.
But why?
Doesn't that propaganda give us the answer?
Yeah. Sure it does. Italy's been a prime target of the Kremlin for years. A disaster like that flood is made to order for them. They'll do anything to capitalize on it, to... What are we going to do about it, Ken?
Suppose I let you know, Chief. From Chiori.
The Chiori, eh, signor?
That's right.
And you are Americano?
Yeah, why?
Alberto, do not think it wise for you to journey to Chiori, signor. No, not wise.
Well, why not, Alberto?
The signor has not heard of the flood.
Sure I have. What's that got to do with it?
Yeah, to make a travel in this country very dangerous.
Very dangerous.
You don't seem to mind it?
Oh, Alberto Rienze has driven this bus from Milano Airport to Chiori for many years. He knows this country like the palm of his hand. For him, it is not dangerous.
But for an American passenger, it is.
Si, senor. The senor wishes Alberto to turn back to Milano.
No, thanks, Alberto.
Well, perhaps the senor will believe Senor Cunningham.
Robert Cunningham, the relief administrator?
He will be able to convince the senor how dangerous it is for Americanos in Chiori. Only a fool would not listen to his argument.
What argument's that?
Senor Cunningham is dead. Murder. Relief for headquarters.
This where Cunningham lived?
Si, and where he died.
Yeah.
If the senor wishes to change his mind, Alberto's boss is always for hire for a return trip to Milan.
Thanks, Alberto. I'll remember that. Arrivederci.
Arrivederci, senor.
Buongiorno, senor.
Good afternoon, signorina.
Oh, you are Americano.
That's right.
I am Teresa Rienza. Who are you?
My name's Ken Thurston. You related to Alberto, signorina?
What is it you wish here, Senor Thurston? Speak quickly. I'm quite busy.
Oh, it's hardly a friendly greeting.
No liberty-loving Italian would ever descend to friendship with fascisti Americano.
Well, some of your countrymen were friendly enough in 1945... when we were relieved of a nasty little man named Mussolini.
Oh, that was only because they did not know your true intentions.
Oh? What are they supposed to be?
You helped us fight the fascisti only because you wished to enslave us in turn. To fatten your own purses at the expense of the blood and tears of the Italian people.
Oh, come off it, Teresa. You know better than that.
I know it is true.
Then what are you doing here? Working at an American relief station.
I do not work here. Cesare Torlini has appointed me administrator since the unfortunate accident to Senor Cunningham.
Who's Torlini?
The new mayor of Chiori.
Does he feel about Americans as you do?
He's the one who opened my eyes to your capitalistic warmongering. A wonderful man.
Yeah, I bet he is. So Torlini's decided to take over operations here since Cunningham was murdered, is that it?
Well, someone has to take charge. There's no one else in the village who could be trusted here.
Is that your idea, Teresa?
Bill.
Or Torlini's?
I thought I told you not to come around here again.
Oh, it wasn't to see you, my sweet. I've got business with Thurston here.
Oh, who are you?
Bill Desmond. The guy they're holding for Cunningham's murder wants to see you.
To see me? Why?
Says he's an old friend of yours. Name of Pagan Zellschmidt. Right, Thurston. This Zellschmidt character saw you drive into town from his cell. He's on permanent vacation in the village Huskow.
How come, Desmond?
Well, they find him hiding in a storage room right after Cunningham's body was discovered.
No better evidence than that.
What else did they need when he started yelping that he was an American?
What gives with Americans here, Desmond?
I can answer that with one obscene word. Torlini.
Torlini. He's the big wheel in the Hate America crusade.
You named it.
What's he got for ammunition?
American promises made and not kept.
The relief shipments?
Sure. Yeah. This was going to be a big deal. America's helping hand. Food, clothes, material for new homes. Well, Cunningham arrives and sets up a relief organization. And then nothing comes through. It's burned, lost, stolen.
So Torlini tells the people of Americans are a bunch of grafters and liars, and their only salvation lies in the East.
That's it. Right out of the Kremlin's book. Only he's giving him proof. He's supplying him with food and clothing out of his own warehouse. And the crates are all stamped, shipped from Moscow.
I see.
Yeah. Well, there's
is a village pokey, Thurston, as far as I go. Hope I got you squared away on the lash-up here.
Except for one thing, Desmond.
Oh, what's that?
Where do you fit into the picture?
Simple. I used to be Cunningham's right hand until he fired me.
Huh? What for?
Stealing relief shipments, selling them on the black market. Well, so long, Thurston. See you around.
That's definitely an Oregon, right,
that's
Lisa?
That's an Oregon.
I check with Lisa, though. I want to make sure that it's not something else. It's an Oregon, right?
It's an Oregon. Mm. I'm big on music classes.
That was the NBC Oregon there.
I like
on
Oregon.
On the Man Called X. So Herbert Marshall as Ken Thurston. I think I called him Steve Mitchell earlier because there's another sci-fi show, another secret agent show like this, called Dangerous Assignment, and that had Brian Donlevy, and he was Steve Mitchell. I get them confused sometimes.
Are you saying that you made another mistake?
It's the second mistake I made in one night.
I think it's the third, but I wasn't counting.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. But because you're my co-host and you correct all my mistakes, they get washed out.
No problem.
That's how it works.
It's my job.
All right, so this is The Man Called X, a good secret agent show from 1952, February 12th. It's called American Relief Supplies to Italy Are Stolen. And we'll get back to The Man Called X in just a few minutes. Let's take a quick break, and then we'll be right back.
Ham. Hey, grit goes a long way in today's NFL.
OB.
We don't have Jay Cutler. We are not in the ballgame.
Cause. Hamp mentioned something on Sunday and Monday. Boom, it's happening.
The best Bears postgame.
I'm going to stay tuned.
The Chevy Hamp and OB show with Cause. Sunday at 3 on 720 WGN. Presented by ChevyDriveChicago.com.
That's what guys always say when they see Lisa Wolf. Woo!
You know, I'd like to compliment our producer, Shane, on his music choices.
I like this. I like this music bridges that Shane's picking. I agree.
I just said that.
No, I said it, too.
Yeah, I know you
both
did.
Said
it. Right after me.
Well, I follow the leader. You're the leader, Lisa.
I know.
You know? Lisa was on vacation last week. How was it? Was it good?
It was great. I
You're
was
in Florida.
Florida.
Yeah? How was it?
For about 9 days.
Lisa was her whole family.
All six of us and my dog, too. We all went.
How warm was it there?
It was hot. We had the air conditioning running 24 hours a day. It was well into the 80s and sunny every single day.
Wow, man. I can't wait for warm weather.
Can't you tell by my deep, dark suntan?
Yeah.
Yeah.
How many more months do we have to wait for warm weather? So what? Another 4 months or so?
I don't know. Winter seems to end late lately, so I don't know.
Yeah,
we're
going to have some more snow this week, so let's just focus on getting to that.
Not good. Not
no,
good.
I know.
So this show that we do here, the WGN Radio Theater, is brought to you in part by Cat's Pride, and we have a really cool contest. It's really not a contest, more like a drawing, right? I mean, it's more like a drawing.
You can call it whatever you want, Carl.
I think it's more a drawing where people send in, we ask our listeners to send in a picture of their cat, themselves and their cat. It's best when they're together with the cat, but you don't have to be in the picture. You can just send the cat. And email it to us here at catspridephoto@gmail.com. If you email a picture of your cat to catspridephoto@gmail.com. The picture will be posted on our Facebook page.
That's correct.
Right, which is WGN Radio Theater. Just search us on WGN Radio Theater on Facebook. The picture will be posted there, but furthermore, it will also be automatically entered into a drawing for you to win a year's supply. That's 365 days, huh? Got my math?
You're good.
365 days worth of Cat's Pride kitty litter. The CEO of the company, Dan Jaffe, he comes in here once a month and he draws a name right out of a bag. It's like a black bag.
That's correct.
Mike's secret black bag.
Yep.
And he draws a name, and then we announce that name on the air, and that person wins a year's supply of Cat's Pride kitty litter, which is a nice prize.
I would like to have a year's worth of kitty litter.
Right. So all you have to do, folks, is send in. You could do it, Tim. You could do it right now if you want, or just any time, because you can enter once a month. If you don't win at the end of January, because Dan comes in here the last Sunday. We do it the last Sunday in January. And then it'll be the last Sunday in February every month. And if you don't win, then just send it in again. You can enter again.
So let me add a couple things to that. Make sure you, in the email, you include your name, your cat's name, your city and state. And you can actually send as many pictures as you want, but your name only gets entered once per month.
Right. And then if you want to tell us a little story about your kitty, that's kind of fun, too. And we like to read that. And we post it up on our Facebook page. So just go to Facebook and search us, WGN Radio Theater. And you'll see a bunch of pictures of people and their cats that are listening to the show. We really appreciate it. And do check out Cat's Pride. It's the best kitty litter on the market. Okay, it is 12:30 in the morning. This is the WGN Radio Theater. We'll get back to the man called X. But first, the news with Roger Badish.
And I have an excuse for you, Carl. The reason for your two mistakes is because it's the new night.
That's right. I'm nervous.
You're very nervous.
I'm nervous.
It's like I think I make him nervous,
no,
Roger.
No, you don't.
I have butterflies, Roger.
He's got butterflies in his stomach, and he's allowed to make these mistakes.
But I made two, and that's my quota.
It's three, okay. But I wasn't
no
counting.
More. No more for tonight.
Now, children. Okay.
Lisa, do you like being here on Saturday night? Is it any different? Seems a little different, right?
It's
different feel?
It has a little bit of a different vibe because Shane is not Dan, and so it feels different.
Did you know that, Shane? You're not Dan.
You know, I've been told once or twice that I wasn't, but some people tell me I am.
Oh, okay.
So
take it from me.
Okay.
Shane is not Dan.
Fine.
Yeah.
Shane,
so it's
Shane, I think I asked you this once
before.
And
then before. Again, Dan is not Shane.
What do you think? Do you like these classic radio shows, Shane? They're cool, right?
Yeah, they are cool. I enjoy listening and comparing content from yesteryear to today.
Yeah, right. Yeah. You know, a lot of these shows, and we'll talk about this throughout the weeks, months, and years, hopefully, here on WGN, how a lot of the television shows you watch today really have their roots in the classic radio shows. And there's lots and lots of correlations, and we'll talk about it. This show that we're tuning into, The Man Called X, I mean, there was all kinds of shows like The Man from U.N.C.L.E., which was a lot like this show, of course, you know, and then, you know, the James Bond show, all the secret agent type of shows. There was two shows on radio that were secret agent shows. The Man Called X, which we're tuning into, and then Dangerous Assignment. So, I think it's a lot of fun. We'll find those correlations and talk about them. And we're really happy to have Shane on board as our producer, right? I kind of gave him a promotion. First day on the air, I gave him a promotion, Mike.
Or you were demoting me.
Yeah,
one or the other.
I always look at it as half glass full. I was just promoting him. That's what I was doing. I wasn't demoting you.
Half glass full?
Half glass full.
Not glass half full?
What
You've
did
never
I say?
Seen his glasses, have you?
No, I haven't. What did I say? Half glass full?
That's not right.
Oh, my gosh.
Give him a break, will you?
Roger, we can't give him too many
I
breaks.
Think what it is on Sundays, I'm just going to be like Daffy Duck. You know, I'll
Sundays.
Yeah, just on Saturdays.
Oh, Saturdays.
Yeah,
you said Sundays.
On Saturdays, I'm going to be all messed up, and Sundays, I'll just do the show without a hitch.
Is that right?
But Saturdays, I'm going to
hold you to that tomorrow.
Yeah, I'm going to mess up on Saturdays. It'll be all the what do you call them? Bloopers.
Well,
all
now
the bloopers
it's a self-fulfilling prophecy, I'm afraid. So.
Yeah, yeah.
Scary.
All right, I'll try to clean up my act for the
rest of the show. I'll keep picking
so my presumption is you didn't take a nap today.
No,
he
you
did.
Know what? I did take a nap
oh,
today.
Oh, no.
Yeah, I took about an hour nap. I took my nappy pie. My mom's glad. My mom's listening. She always asks me, did you sleep today? You sound tired. Did you go to sleep, Carl? Did you take a little nap? Yes, I took. Because normally I'm in bed by about 10 o'clock.
All right, we're going to blame it on first night jitters.
All right.
I think we're all making... Roger's making you nervous. I understand.
Roger's
nervous, too.
It's all Roger's fault.
It's all Roger's fault.
I'm not even in the same room.
You're close by, though.
It's okay. All
I
Roger.
I see your photo. I see your picture up in the screen. It counts.
Exactly. All right. Let's get back to this, right? Let's get back to this good secret agent show. Man Called X. This is from February 12, 1952. American relief supplies to Italy are stolen with Herbert Marshall as secret agent Ken Thurston. The conclusion now, The Man Called X.
But I'm innocent. listen, Mr. Rex, believe me, I didn't have nothing to do with Mr. Cunningham getting bumped out.
The people of Chiori say differently, Pagan.
Oh, it's a frame. I was just an innocent standbyer. I swear it by the father of my father.
All right. When you decide to tell the truth, let me know if you're not on the gallows by then.
No, Mr. Rex, please, wait. No, don't leave me on the perch and this pokey. I'll tell you the truth. Honest.
Okay. Let's have it.
It was all my Uncle Ahmed's fault. He sent me here.
For what?
Oh, to help the poor starving people who got bailed out by the flood.
What?
Oh, sure, he figured they'd be hungry with giving food to eat at cost.
Black market cost, you mean?
Well, there were certain expenses involved, you.
Yeah. So what happened?
Well, that no good Torlini threatened to run me out of town. So I went to see that Cunningham geezer for a job. Only somebody had just bumped him out. And I was just looking around to see if there was anything worth stealing. Looking for clues. When the police character walked in.
Okay, Pagan, I'll go talk to Torlini. And believe me, getting out of jail will only be incidental.
Oh, thank you, Mr. Thurston. Thank you.
Signor Thurston, you are here to see me concerning this man, Sir Schmidt?
Among other things, Signor Torlini.
Then let us dispose of the minor difficulties first. He is free to go any time you wish.
Then you don't think he killed Cunningham?
Naturally not. I kept him in jail merely to chastise him.
For attempting to operate a black market here?
Precisely. The people of Chiari have no need for black markets or relief. They know where to turn for help.
And that's not to America.
As you say, Signor Thurston, it is not to America.
You know, Torlini, there's something pretty strange going on here.
So? What do you have in mind?
American relief shipments have run into a lot of trouble getting through.
Unfortunate accidents, Signor Thurston.
Then how come your crates of food and clothing shipped from Moscow haven't met the same accidents?
You believe this concerns you?
I like to get answers to questions that puzzle me, Torlini.
Yeah. See. Do you have other questions also?
Yeah.
Such as?
What happened to the American relief shipments that were stolen? Who killed Bob Cunningham and why? What could be done about the anti-American propaganda here?
Signor Thurston, the people of Chiari have learned that their destinies are entwined irrevocably with that of the Soviet Union. Therefore, I would advise you to leave this village at once.
And if I don't?
The consequences of attempting to halt the march of destiny are not always pleasant. Signor Cunningham was one who learned that lesson. You could most easily be another. Well?
Sorry, Torlini. I kind of like this place. I think I'll stick around.
A vicious wave of anti-American feeling has swept over the flood-battered village of Chiari in Italy. Ken Thurston believes it is all part of a far-reaching plan to turn the people of Italy against the Western democracies.
Boy, it sure feels good to be out of the clinks again. Well, where do we go now? Milan? Rome? Venice?
We're not going anywhere.
Oh, that suits me fine, Mr. X. Any place just as long as we're not going anywhere.
That's right, Pedro.
But they don't like us here. Look at those people in the street looking at us. Let this leaf cut our throats. Leaper even.
Only because someone sold them on hating Americans. They're going to try to straighten them out.
Hey. Who lives here anyways?
Probably the only ally we have in town.
Huh?
Ah, it is the Signor Thurston.
That's right, Alberto. May we come in?
Oh, per favore, please, signores. You have come, signor, to hire the boss for return travel to Milano?
We're not leaving Chiari, Alberto.
So, then you are not frightened by these savage villagers who hate all Americanos.
I think the Italian people are pretty much like you and me, Alberto. They're not born to hate. But sometimes, if they're frightened badly enough, they can be taught to hate.
Thank you, signor. We shall drink a bottle of vino to your deep understanding.
Boy, that's the first thing I've heard around here that makes any sense.
Now, we haven't time. I've got to work fast, and I need your help.
What is it you wish Alberto to do?
Before I left Milan,
I made arrangements for another boatload of relief supplies to be shipped here. I want you to meet that boat upriver before anything happens to it. Bring the supplies back here to the relief headquarters with your bus.
You can depend on Alberto, senor. For it will indeed prove to my people that the Americanos are their true friends. And do you, Senor Thurston?
I'll try to prove that Paulini is their enemy.
Torlini's castle, Thurston, on his own private island in the middle of the Po River.
He's got a supply warehouse out here, too?
Yeah, the works. You want to ride over and pay a visit?
Not yet, Desmond. Cruise around the river for a while. I'd like to study the layout.
Why not? I got nothing better to do. Hey, how come you picked me to take this little jaunt with you?
Maybe I wanted some more information about you.
Huh? Like what?
Why Cunningham fired you?
I told you. He thought I was stealing supplies for the black market.
Were you?
No.
Did he have any evidence?
Sure. Some of the supplies that were aboard the last boat to be hijacked. They turned up in my quarters.
Who framed you? Torlini?
Can't think of a better guess.
So you've got no job? The people of Chiori hate Americans, and you still hang around. Why?
Teresa? Seen enough, Thurston?
Yeah. Might as well head back to the dock.
Well, looks like we got a little reception committee at the dock, Thurston. Half the village at Chiori had a rough guess.
Yeah. We might be in for trouble.
Want to pull out again?
No, but if anything happens, remember what I told you.
Right.
Tie her up, Desmond. I'll see what's going on.
Check.
I trust you enjoyed your river trip, Senor Thurston.
It was all right, Torlini. What's the excitement?
In some respects, people here are no different than in your country, Senor Thurston. They, too, can be stirred up into the fury of a lynch mob.
Lynch mob, why?
You dare to ask that? You murdering American capitalist, do you dare to ask that? Then the answer I give you is this.
Oh, that was plain enough. It is hardly an answer, Teresa.
Then allow me to give it to you, senor. I'm placing you under arrest for the murder of Teresa's father, Alberto Rienza. Be thankful, Senor Thurston, that I am a man who believes in the orderly process of justice. Otherwise, my good comrades of Chiari would have torn you to bits long before this.
Oh, sure. Mighty nice of you, Torlini. What happens after you put me in that mud hut you call a jail?
Yeah. If my countrymen wish to take the law into their own hands and remove you from it forcibly...
I see what you mean. What happened to Alberto Rienza?
He lost his life attempting to defend a riverboat bringing relief supplies to Chiari.
Where do I come in?
With his dying breath, Alberto informed me that you were the leader of the band. The one who had personally dealt him the mortal wound. Naturally, it was my duty to inform the villagers.
Got it all tied up in one neat package, haven't you, Tony?
I think I may say without undue pride that the situation remains under my control.
One exception.
Oh? And what is that?
This way, this way. Right over here. This way.
All right, Pigon. Let's go.
On the spot, eh, Mr. X?
Sheer genius, Pagan. Where'd you get the car?
Well, I was getting tired of hanging around that jury joint, so I hasted it. I borrowed this jalopy for a little trip to Milan.
And when you saw me coming down the street, you figured you could use a paying passenger.
That's right. So how's about forking over on the line, eh, Mr. X?
Be glad to, as soon as we make a little detour.
Detour?
Yeah, back to the dock in Chiori.
We risk my neck sneaking back to Chiori to steal this pot. And for what?
So we could visit a warehouse.
Warehouse? Where?
On Trollini's Island.
Oh, no! Get out of this place. What are you poking around in all those boxes for?
Just wanted to prove something, Pega.
Hmm?
Look at those crates. And they're all not ships from Moscow. And take a look at what's in them. Flour, sugar, butter.
So what?
So the packages they really came in are piled up over there in the corner. American packages. All that food's part of our relief shipments.
It is? Hey, then the Torlini joker must be the guy who stole all that stuff. Then he repacked it in those boxes so he could give it to those people and be a hotshot.
No.
Congratulations, Signor Zellschmidt. You have figured it out perfectly.
Oh, that's all right, Mr. Torlini. Think nothing of it. I... Torlini?
Looks like you did some figuring yourself, Torlini.
It was not too difficult to find the reason for your exploratory river trip earlier today.
And now?
That answer is rather obvious. You have come to the end of the road. Do you have all the answers now, Signor Thurston?
I got them, Torlini.
Good. Then there is no need to delay the execution any longer.
Oh, no.
You better listen first, Torlini.
To what, Signor? What is there for me to... That's on. What is it?
Your comrade from Chiori. The stupid villagers you thought were leading... Like a herd of cattle.
The villagers?
That's right. Bill Desmond and Teresa had a little talk with them. They're on their way to examine this private warehouse of yours. I wonder what they're going to think of their wonderful savior from the east when they get a good look at it.
No, you're lying. They could not possibly be coming here.
Take a look out of the window. See for yourself. And give me that gun.
No!
All right, Peter. You can climb out of that crate now.
Boy, what a smackaroo, Mr. X. He sure made a mistake trying to look out that window.
His mistake was made long before that, Pega. When he thought he could make suckers out of the Italian people.
But he did, Mr.
Oh, some of them fell for those phony promises for a little while, sure. Like the people in China fell for them. And in Russia. But one thing's for sure, that if we work hard enough at it, we can wake them all up. Just like we did in Chiori.
Now, here is our star, Mr. Herbert Marshall.
Thanks for being with us. Join us, won't you, when next I return as the man called X. Good night.
There you have it. That is The Man Called X. Going back to February 12th, 1952, American relief supplies to Italy are stolen, starring Herbert Marshall as Ken Thurston, The Man Called X. We used to send him all over the globe, Lisa, globe-trotting all across world to solve problems that our government was having. And that's what that show was all about. It was a very popular show. And as I say, it's very similar to another show called Dangerous Assignment that had Brian Donlevy. In fact, that show became a television program for a while. This did too. This made the transition to television. So a totally different actor played Ken Thurston on television. I think it was Barry Sullivan, I think. I could check. One of our listeners will let us know for sure. Hope you enjoyed that. In our next hour, we're going to tune in to James Stewart, one of the biggest movie stars of the 1940s. He starred in a radio series called The Six Shooter. He played a lot of cowboys in the movies, and NBC Radio lured him to the microphones to star in sort of a folksy Western series called The Six Shooter, and that's what we have coming up for you in just, maybe about 10 minutes or so here on the WGN Radio Theater. We do all kinds of fun stuff here. We give away prizes. If you can name our celebrities, which is brought to you by Cats Pride, and generally they're Lou Malnati's gift cards, and we have one coming up in the next hour. And Lisa gives away, Lisa is a Broadway Lisa. She loves to go to plays in Chicagoland. And so she has all of these connections and gets tickets.
Well, just to give everybody a heads up, tomorrow, each hour, we will be giving away tickets to see Spring Awakening at the Marriott Theater in Lincolnshire. So if you like that.
Broadway Lisa, she sees everything in Chicago. There's nothing she doesn't see.
Not quite everything.
It's
but, you know.
Sometimes it's off Michigan Avenue.
Right.
And she'll see that too. Mm-hmm. You know, it's like $1.97 for a ticket.
Yeah,
She'll pack the kids into the car, drive from the suburbs all the way out to see that. She doesn't miss anything, Mike.
Yeah, I do. I do, because you keep me so busy working for the show.
How many weeks do you go to?
No, usually I try to limit it to two each week.
That's a lot, though. Two shows?
Two shows
I mean, to
each
go
week.
See a show, that's a lot of work, right?
It is. It is a
to
lot.
To drive,
but,
you know, from the suburbs.
I barely have time to see one movie every half year.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know, me too. I did see a Christmas movie. We saw the same one.
I try to see a movie like every other week. I see a lot of movies. I see 20-plus movies a year,
yeah.
I think. Yeah.
I wouldn't call that a lot. Ask Nick DiGilio if that's a lot of movies.
No, not compared to Nick. All right, let's take a short break, and we'll come back here on the WGN Radio Theater. What do they call this? Is this like techno something or other?
What do they call it? Who's they?
I don't know. Out there in the lexicon. What is this called? Techno something or other?
I don't know.
Shane would know. Shane,
what is
this?
It's a trumpet, Carl.
I was going to say, it just sounds like,
you know,
instrumental.
I'm overcomplicating it, see?
That's what you do.
I know. All right. Well, this is the WGN Radio Theater. It's our first Saturday night here on the legendary Radio 720 WGN. We're here every Saturday and Sunday night playing classic radio shows for you. All of your favorites, The Shadow, Jack Benny, Gunsmoke, Dragnet, Inner Sanctum, Lights Out, Escape, The Whistler.
And The Six Shooter.
The Six Shooter. That's coming up in our next hour. James Stewart as The Six Shooter. And my co-host is Lisa Wolf, Mike Costello, my executive producer. See, I said it right. Shane Reardon, my producer here on Saturdays.
Welcome back to our very first Saturday show of the WGN Radio Theater. We are playing Celebrity Scoop. Let's hear that movie clip one more time.
The state places a bounty on a man's head. I track that man. I find that man. I kill that man. After I've killed him, I transport that man's corpse back to the authorities. Sometimes that's easier said than done. I show that corpse to the authorities, proving, yes, indeed, I truly have killed him, at which point the authorities pay me the bounty.
Oh, that was a long clip.
That's how it works.
That's how it works. We have Richard on the line from Wickard Park. Richard, is that how it works?
Hey, guys. How are you?
I'm great. How are you?
Hi, Richard.
Good morning.
Good morning. Can you tell us who the celebrity scoop is? Who was going to be in The Legend of Tarzan and was in Django Unchained?
Well, listen, I think it's Christoph Waltz.
And I think you are absolutely correct. And because you are correct, you get to have a most delicious Lou Malnati's $25 gift certificate to have a terrific pizza, and that is the best pizza around, don't you think?
I had one last night.
I have them all the time. I wish I could win one. But in any event, you are the lucky winner, and you can visit one of their 42 Chicagoland locations and check out their entire menu at loumalnatis.com, okay?
Okay, hey, thanks, guys. Listen, I know a lot of people are listening because I got the last one, and I couldn't get through.
Good.
Oh,
well,
way to go.
Well, we need everybody. So thanks so much for listening.
Thanks, Richard.
It's going good.
I appreciate it. Tune us in Saturdays and Sundays here on WGN for the WGN Radio Theater. All right, it's time now for a really cool Western. This is kind of like a folksy Western. It wasn't like a real violent Western. It was more like, Gunsmoke was pretty tough.
Yeah.
This was more like, in between, it was still for adults. It wasn't like a kiddie juvenile Western. It was an adult Western, but it had James Stewart, who was, you know, a good guy cowboy. But he was not to be messed with if he got in a jam.
Sounds like you, Carl.
You know? Yeah.
And he
played lawman Britt Ponsett. He was a guy that would go moseying from town to town and find himself trying to help people out. And sometimes he had to use his six gun to do that, or his fists. And this show was on the air for only one season. It came a little late. It came in 1953, so it only lasted one season. But James Stewart was terrific in the role. This is a broadcast from October 18th, 1953. It's called Rink Larkin. And in the cast, Sammy Ogg, Russell Thorson, and Tony Barrett. Hal Gibney doing the announcing. Here's an NBC production of The Six Shooter.
In just a moment, you'll hear James Stewart as The Six Shooter, just one of the many great stars brought to you on Sundays on NBC. Every Sunday, hear Hume Cronin and Jessica Tandy in The Marriage, Sir Laurence Olivier on Theatre Royal, and Lawrence Tippett with The Golden Voices, Helen Hayes, Frederick March, Rex Harrison, and Lily Palmer on the NBC Star Playhouse. All of them heard only on NBC. James Stewart as The Six Shooter. The man in the saddle is angular and long-legged. His skin is sun-dyed brown. The gun in his holster is gray steel and rainbow mother of pearl, its handle unmarked. People call them both the Six Shooter. The NBC Radio Network presents James Stewart as The Six Shooter, a transcribed series of radio dramas based on the life of Britt Ponsett, the Texas plainsman who wandered through the Western territories, leaving behind a trail of still-remembered legends.
The wind had died down. It was quiet now. The only thing I could hear was the creek trickling away about 20 feet down from where I'd made camp for the night. I shifted my blanket, turned over on one side. The moon came out, and I could see the water skimming along, washing the pebbles clean. And, gee, it's funny the way the sound of a creek always makes you drowsy.
Yeah.
I started to close my eyes, and then I got that same feeling again, that feeling I'd had all day. Scar fella, too. Ever since we turned off the maiden road into the trail to Petersville, I'd had a hunch that there was another horse not very far behind. Whoever was riding him managed to keep out of sight, but it was the same kind of a hunch you get when you feel a pair of eyes drilling into the back of your neck and then turn around and spot somebody staring at you. Scar hadn't been traveling very fast. Anybody could have caught us to us real easy. The fella back there hadn't wanted to catch up. That is, if my hunch was right. It wouldn't be the first time I played the wrong hunch. You know? No point to losing sleep over it, anyhow. It was Scar that woke me up. I could see a shadow over by my pile of grub, and not more than 6-8 feet away. I inched my hand from under the blanket, and I got a grip on my gun. Are you looking for something, mister? Now, now, hold on. Oh, just a minute, hold on now. There. That's better. I'd kind of like to find out why you're pretty young to be roaming around this country, aren't you, son?
I'm 11.
Ah. You the fellow's been following me all day?
It's a free trail, ain't it?
Yeah, yes it is.
Then you ain't got no right to interfere with my riding over it.
Oh, that's true enough. But, you haven't got much right stealing my grub, either.
I didn't steal any.
Well, that's what you were fixing to do, isn't it?
Maybe.
Oh. Now, if you're hungry, you're welcome to it. I got plenty of grub here, but
You just didn't have to come sneaking around to...
I didn't know who you was. I was afraid you might try to send me back home.
Uh-huh. I'll just where is home?
Crescent.
Oh. Well, if you'll stir up the fire, I'll see what I can do about heating up some beans. How's that sound?
I'd appreciate it.
Good. All right. Hand me that pan over there. There we are.
You won't tell nobody you ran into me, will you, mister? You won't tell them you seen me.
Well,
You're not taking me back to Crescent. No matter what happens, I'm not going back there. You understand that?
I'll take it easy now. You're not the first boy to run away from home. Far from it. Most of them hike off when they're about your age. But they don't usually miss more than one meal before they turn back. At least I didn't. What happened? Your dad give you a whipping?
No, sir. My pop wouldn't hurt me either. He's a fine man. The finest man that ever lived.
Sure, yeah. Well, here's your beans.
I'm heading for Petersville to find my father. He told me when I was big enough I could join up with him. Well, big enough now, ain't I?
There you are. Real good-sized boy for 11. Say that much. How come you haven't been staying with your dad?
He moves around a lot.
Oh, I see.
So I've been living with Aunt Aggie ever since Ma died. It's not the same as being with your own pa.
No, I just didn't.
And I made up my mind. As soon as I found out where he was, I was going to him.
Mm-hmm. You sure your dad's in Petersville?
Aunt Aggie got a letter from here last Monday. I heard her talking to Uncle Ray about it and heard him mention Pa's name. He sounded kind of worried, like something had happened to him.
Uh-huh.
Then when they saw me, they shut up. You reckon Pa's sick? You reckon that's what they were talking about?
I don't know, son. It could be that.
I asked them what was in the letter, but they wouldn't tell me. Now I'm going to find out for myself.
Well, seeing how I'm heading for Petersville, too, I guess there's no reason why we shouldn't ride along together. And if we're going to be traveling companions, we ought to introduce ourselves, don't you think?
My name's Larkin. Rink Larkin.
Oh, pleased to meet you, Rank. I'm Britt Ponsett.
Britt Ponsett?
That's right.
That'll they call a six-shooter? Gee whiz, Mr. Ponsett. I didn't mean to talk back to you the way I did. If I'd known who you was... Say, would you mind showing me your gun? Heard folks talk about that gun of yours ever since I was a kid.
Yeah, sure. Here,
oh,
catch.
Oh, boy. Ain't near as heavy as it looks.
Well, you know about guns, Rank?
Some. Want to see me give it a twirl?
Sure, let's see. Hey, that's fine.
Whoop. Of course, it ain't the way you do it, though. But here, Mr. Ponson. Thanks for showing it to me.
Sure. Well, I guess we still got a couple hours before sun up. Why don't you bring your horse over here by the fire? Maybe we can get some shut-eye.
Good idea. Oh, Mr. Ponsett.
Yeah?
I'm right pleased I bumped into you tonight.
So am I, Rank. So am I. An early start the next morning. That is, considering that it took me almost half an hour to get Rink awake and on his feet. It was about 4 o'clock when we got into Petersville. I'd been through that way for a couple of years, but the town, it hadn't changed much. About the only thing different I saw was a new livery stable and a fresh coat of green paint on the Jackson Hotel. Men playing checkers in the front porch, they hadn't changed at all. Except maybe their beards a little grayer. Of course, my hair wasn't exactly the same shade it used to be, you know. But that was from being out in the sun so much. At least that's how I figured. Well, we pulled up beside a yellow adobe building right next door to the hotel and climbed off our horses. Now, come on, Rank. Let's go inside and see what we can find out about your father.
That's the sheriff's office.
Mm-hmm. Sure, he'll know where he is. If any... What's the matter, Rank?
I don't like sheriffs, that's all.
Haven't been giving you trouble, have they?
I don't like them neither. Heard him say so once. He was talking to a friend of his and heard him say how he hated some sheriff.
Oh, well, I don't imagine he was talking about Sheriff Jay. There's good sheriffs and bad sheriffs, you know, like everything else. You know. But most of them are good. Come on now, come on.
Ponson.
Hello, Sheriff. Hi.
What in thunderation you doing in Petersville?
Well, the widow Jenkins is going east for her daughter's wedding. She asked me to look after her place while she's away.
Well, it sure is good to see you. Say, who's your friend here?
No, this is Rink, Sheriff. He was coming to Petersville, too, so we decided to ride along together.
Pleased to meet you, son.
Howdy.
Matter of fact, that's why we stopped in to talk to you. Rink wants to find out about his father.
Be glad to help out if I can. What's his name, son?
Larkin. Earl Larkin.
Oh, I see. I'm sorry. You're just a couple of hours too late.
Too late?
I wrote to your pa's sister in Crescent. Her answer came in on the morning stage. She said she didn't want your pa's body for us to bury him here. Funeral was this morning.
Pa's dead?
Wait, you knew about him being killed, didn't you? Your aunt told you.
I guess she didn't, Sheriff.
Oh, I didn't mean to blurt it out, Britt. I figured...
How did it happen?
We don't have to talk about that now, son.
I want to know. What happened?
Look, suppose you come up to my house for supper, huh? After you've had a nice home-cooked meal.
It won't do you no good to stall, Sheriff. I want to know who killed him.
You'll find out anyway, Sheriff.
Yeah. Yeah, I guess he will. All right, son. It was me.
You?
Marshal over at Atterbury sent word that Larkin and his pal Cliff Traeger were heading this way. I'd heard about him before. I knew what to expect. He rode into town about noontime. I was waiting inside the bank. I'd deputized some of the boys and they were with me. Your pa and Traeger didn't have a chance, son, but they shot it out anyway. Wouldn't drop their guns, even though we had the draw on them. Traeger, he got away into the hills. But Larkin... I'm really sorry, son. Sorry I had to be the one to do it. Even sorrier, I had to tell you about it.
You're a liar. A dirty, stinking liar. My pa never tried to rob no bank. You take it back, what you said about it. I'll make you take it back every word.
Now, you...
Dirty rotten...
Now, Rink, here, get a hold of yourself here now.
Oh, go on me, you kill my pa. He's a murderer, murderer.
Now, Rink! I didn't want to hit you, Rink, but I...
Why shouldn't you hit me? You're his friend, ain't you? He killed my pa and you're his friend.
I think I ought to go after him, Britt. Try to explain.
No, I I expect it's best to leave him by himself for a while.
But this wasn't the first holdup Larkin and Traeger tried to pull out by a long shot. I didn't have no chance.
Yeah.
Well, someday the boy will understand. Someday when he's older.
Yeah. The trouble is, things don't wait for a person to reach the understanding age. They happen anyway, whether a person's ready for them or not. It doesn't look like Rink's ready. Not for this, anyway.
We'll return to James Stewart as the six-shooter in just a moment.
Well, it's a six-shooter. Six-shooter there, Lisa.
Yeah? I'm trying to.
I'm trying to do a Jimmy Stewart.
That was pretty good.
Nah, you like it?
I loved Roger, it. Please don't compliment me.
No, it was good.
What's his famous line in It's a Wonderful Life? What does he say? He says something
oh,
like, Mary. Mary. He says, right?
Isn't
he
talking?
His wife's name is Mary,
yeah,
isn't it, right?
I know what the line you're talking about, but it's Zuzu. Yeah.
No, it's isn't it?
It's a Wonderful Life.
No, it's
no he never said it.
I know he never.
No,
said
he doesn't say that.
I just
something about Clarence, isn't it?
I'm grasping
the line he does
straws
with Clarence.
Now. Yeah. Oh yeah, yeah, yeah. Something with Clarence, right?
Yeah.
What is it again? Oh, I don't know.
We'll look it up on the break.
Yeah. I'll bet you Roger knows this. Who was the bartender in It's a Wonderful Life? Who was the bartender? Do you remember?
Yeah, he went on to produce a whole ton of TV shows.
Yes, he did.
He was, and there's a character on Sesame Street that is fashioned after him. It's the guy who keeps trying to sell a letter.
Yes.
He says, hey, buddy. Come here,
man.
I got a... A
it's Sheldon Leonard.
Sheldon Leonard.
Yeah.
Did he do Danny Thomas?
Yes. He did Andy Griffith's show.
Andy Griffith's show,
Tons and tons of show. And he was the bartender in It's a Wonderful Life. But anyway, I digress. This is the first portion of The Six Shooter. It's called Rink Larkin, and it stars the one and only Jeremy Stewart.
See, it's okay. So good.
Thanks, Roger. Roger's my new best friend.
I can't do that.
He's my new best friend, Roger. Roger and I, what we're going to do is we're going to go out, we're going to have drinks, and Roger's going to tell me how great my Jimmy Stewart impression is.
Yeah, and I'll do Sheldon Leonard behind the bar.
Yeah,
Sheldon Leonard. Hey, look, I'm ringing. There's an angel. Got his wings. Ding, ding, ding.
Lisa's tapping me on the shoulder. She's telling me.
You guys just keep patting each other on the back.
This is WGN, and this is the WGN Radio Theater. My name is Carl Amari. I'm your host here Saturday and Sunday nights, 11 p.m. till 2 in the morning. Lisa taught me how to say that, so I'm saying it the way she said to say it. Don't want to mess with her. Don't want to make her mad. She is. She works out.
I'm really tough.
And she can, like, flip me and throw me to the mat and pin me.
I wish I could, but I
don't want that happening.
Yeah.
It would be ugly.
Yes.
It really would be.
It would.
Yeah, I would be moaning and crying like a little baby.
Yes, that
would
not be
pretty. I don't want that happening.
No, nor do I.
Right?
No blood. I'm not a blood person. Let's keep things nice and clean here.
No blood. We don't want blood. Unless it's from one of these radio shows. You know, if it's a scary radio show, then it could be bloody.
All right.
That's okay.
I'm good with that.
We're tuning in to a classic radio show called The Six Shooter. And it stars James Stewart. I thought we'd get right back to it now. Let's go back to October 18th, 1953. Jimmy Stewart in the conclusion of The Six Shooter.
Now, Act Two of The Six Shooter, starring James Stewart as Britt Ponsett.
After I made sure of a room for the night, I started out looking for Rink. I had a hunch I wouldn't have a hard time finding him. There was only one cemetery in Petersville, sloping hill, west of town. Pines all around it and soft green ferns mixed in between the trees. Rink was there, sitting on his haunches right beside a mound of fresh earth. He wasn't crying, but his cheeks were streaked with wet dust where the tears had been. Oh, Rink. Say, if these things were your paws, I thought maybe you might like to have them here. You want some supper?
Not hungry.
Yeah, well...
You believe what the sheriff said, don't you? You believe he was right to kill Pa?
Well, I wasn't there. I didn't see how it happened.
But you're on his side anyway.
Oh, people don't have sides, Rank. Not on a thing like this.
I do. I'm on Pa's side. He was a good man. Never did anybody harm, never. No matter what that lying sheriff says.
Well, maybe you saw your dad different from other folks. And that doesn't mean you're wrong. Maybe with you, he was different.
I want to make it up for him, Mr. Ponson. I'm going to get even with that sheriff. I will, so help me.
Now, you listen to me.
Let me alone, Mr. Ponsett. Just stop John and let me alone.
All right. All right, Rank. Now, if you change your mind, you know where the hotel is, huh? Good night. I thought he would change his mind. I thought it'd get cold out there in a couple hours and he'd come sneaking into the hotel room, but he didn't. He didn't change his mind. I had the room all to myself. I didn't sleep very much, though. You know how it is when you're expecting something to happen. You sort of keep thinking about it in spite of yourself, and you just don't sleep very sound. Anyway, Yeah?
Who are they?
Me, Britt. Sheriff Jay.
Oh, come on in, Sheriff. Oh, morning.
Hope I didn't wake you.
No, I wasn't asleep. I should have been up a long time ago, but hand me my boots, Sheriff, will you?
Hmm? Oh, sure.
Thanks.
Hey, boy's not with you.
No. No, I haven't seen him since last night. Don't know where he went.
Oh?
Something the matter?
Thompson's hardware store was robbed about 3 a.m. No money missing. Just a revolver and some bullets, as far as Brad Thompson can tell.
Oh, I see.
Got in through the back window. Found some boot prints outside. Small boots. Size a boy'd be wearing.
Mm. Wait, you find anything else?
Yeah. There's a pretty clear trail leading away from behind the store. Be real easy to follow. Almost as if the fellow who robbed the hardware store left the tracks intentional so somebody would come after him.
What happened to that towel? Oh, here it is.
It was the Larkin kid, wasn't it, Britt?
Oh, could have been.
Don't tell me he's got some fool notion of revenge on his father.
Well, he did say something about getting even, Jay.
So he figures when I go riding after him, he'll get a chance to kill me. That how you see it?
It's pretty hard to be sure what's going on a youngster's head sometimes.
Doggone it, Britt. Sometimes I wonder why I keep on wearing this star. No matter what you do, it's wrong. Earl Larkin ain't the first man I've killed, not by long sight. And he deserved it more than most. Killing him didn't end nothing. Just turned his kid bad. I guess I should have...
Let Larkin kill you?
Oh, no.
You going after Rink?
Maybe the kid will come to his senses.
When you're 11 years old and you get set on accomplishing something, you don't change your mind very easy, you know.
What do you expect me to do, Britt? Go up in those hills and shoot it out with an 11-year-old boy? I got a son of my own. Ned's just about the same age as Rink.
Oh?
If Rink was covering me right now, there in that door, if I saw his finger starting to squeeze the trigger, I wouldn't be able to shoot. No matter what, I wouldn't be able to shoot.
Where's his trail lead?
East, over towards Skull Mountain.
Widow Jenkins Ranch right over that way. I'm riding out to see her this morning.
Well, I guess it doesn't matter whether I go after Rink or he comes after me. Might as well get it over with. That's what you think I ought to do, ain't it, Rick?
Oh, no. No. Oh, well, not necessarily. All I was thinking was that if you did happen to decide to follow Rink, well, we could ride out together, part way at least. We're getting pretty close to Black Canyon, are we?
Yeah, it's only about half a mile.
If somebody wanted to set up an ambush, that canyon wouldn't be a good place, wouldn't it?
Yeah. Well, here's the turnoff to the Jenkins Ranch.
Huh? Oh, yes. That's right. Well. Ma Jenkins wasn't expecting me before sundown, so I didn't need to turn off just yet. I could ride along with Sheriff Jay a little bit further. We were moving through Black Canyon now, rocks on both sides, plenty of cover for a person who wanted it. Rink's trail went right straight ahead, and that's why we didn't pay much attention to what was happening behind us. Not enough attention, anyway. I did hear something, a little scratching noise. By the time I turned my head, a barrel of a revolver was poked out through a crevice between two boulders. And it wasn't Rink who was holding the gun.
All right, boys.
What the?
And don't rage.
Trigger!
Oh, you dirt. I told you not to rage. Next time won't be your hand. Who are you?
My name's Ponsett. Britt Ponsett.
Oh. Sure took your time coming after me, Sheriff. Were you waiting for somebody like the six shooter to give you a hand?
I never thought you'd be fool enough to hang around. I give you credit for having good sense.
I'd have been glad to move on, but my horse went lame on me. Besides, you put a bullet through my shoulder, remember? Just hold still, Sheriff. The wound is healed now. Okay, I'm out of the saddle. But don't hurry things. Come down slow, one at a time. You first, Ponson. Your turn, Sheriff. Now, walk forward a couple of steps. Wait for your horses. Hold it. Oh. Why, forget it. What happened to Larkin? I said...
He died a couple of hours after you and him held up the bank.
Well, that's the way it goes. All right, now let's...
You haven't seen his kid, have you?
What? Larkin's kid?
Yeah, a boy about 11 years old.
And what would I be... You mean he's in these parts?
Yeah, he's gunning for the sheriff here.
Sure takes after his old man, don't he?
What do you mean, Traeger?
Huh? Well, it was Larkin's trouble. Liked a gun too much.
Oh?
Sure. Wasn't so bad when we first teamed up, but after a while he wasn't happy unless he could start a gunfight. Asked the sheriff. You know how he was there at the bank. Now, if it had been up to me, we'd have given up when we saw he had us cornered, but not Earl. Anyhow...
You might have been better off if you'd given up.
No, not me, Bonson. Earl, maybe, but not me. Anyway, he'd have been killed sooner or later. Fellas always blazing away, someone's always going to blaze back at him.
Uh-huh.
Now, me... I'm different. I don't enjoy killing the way Earl did.
No, of course,
there's times when a man don't have no choice.
Traeger.
Like today, maybe. I gotta have a horse and I gotta make a break out of these hills.
Now look, Traeger.
Well, as I see it, there's only one way of getting a horse and of making sure you boys don't follow me.
Traeger!
At least that's how I see it. So I guess it don't leave me much choice. Does it?
He cocked his gun, and a ray of sunlight glinted off the barrel as he tilted up just a fraction of an inch. And then his trigger finger started curling back real slow, like he was playing with us, making us wonder which one of us. I wasn't sure which one of us was going to get it first. If it was me, Sheriff Jay might have a chance to draw before Traeger could fire again. If it was the sheriff, then I... His aim was right between us. He was taunting us, and he knew it. And the slightest move by either one of us...
Yeah, that's right. Keep on wondering. Keep shaking. Nerves. Which one, you thinking? But it's going to be both of you. Because you're nice and close.
And his trigger finger kept tightening... Slowly.
And boys, it's gonna be now. So.
For a split second, Trigger just stood there, not moving. Then he fell down his face. I saw Rink rise up from behind a rock about 8 feet away.
Rink!
Hello, Sheriff. Mr. Ponson.
Hello, Rink.
You. Holy mackerel, son. You sure turned up at the right time. You've been hiding behind that rock all the time?
You see me, didn't you, Mr. Ponson? When I snuck up behind that rock? That's why you kept talking about Pa.
I thought I saw somebody. Figured it might be you. Sure hoped it was.
I'm glad I heard what he said, Mr. Ponson. Otherwise, I'd never have believed about... I'm sorry I called you a liar, Sheriff. I'm sorry I tried to get you out here so I could...
Now, don't you worry about that, Rick. We're mighty grateful for what you did, both of us. You sure know how to handle a gun.
Pa taught me. I still don't see how he could have been the kind of man who was also so good to me.
Sure, Rick. Well, I know.
Well, sounds like Traeger's still got some life in him.
Oh, yeah. Well, we better be getting him back to town. Come on, Rank, give us a hand.
Well, since I was going to be alone on the Jenkins place while Maul Jenkins went east, there didn't seem to be any good reason why Rink couldn't stay along there for a while, too. At least until the time for school take up again.
So I wrote a letter back to his aunt explaining things. She wrote back. She didn't seem to have any objections. But somehow, reading between the lines, I got the feeling she kind of missed that boy, Rink. And, well, one very long before he began to miss her, too.
One of the finest things you can do is support your local Community Chest or United Fund. Through them, you can make just one yearly contribution that takes care of many needs. Since only one campaign is staged, much time and effort are saved. Your money is collected and administered honestly and efficiently. So give generously to your Community Chest or your local United Fund. The Six Shooter is an NBC Radio Network production in association with Review Productions. It is based on a character created by Frank Burt, and the transcribed story is written by him. Mr. Stewart may currently be seen in the Universal International picture Thunder Bay. Others in the cast were Sammy Ogg, Russell Thorson, and Tony Barrett. Special music for this program was by Basil Adlam, and the entire production is under the direction of Jack Johnstone. All characters and incidents were fictitious, and any resemblance to actual characters or incidents is purely coincidental. This is Hal Gibney speaking. Hear Stroke of Fate next on the NBC Radio Network.
There is a very cool Western adventure. I saw Lisa kind of tapping her toes. She liked that show, right? Lisa, you love those Westerns, don't you?
At least I keep my shoes on when I tap my toes.
Mr. Matinky likes Westerns.
Yes,
your
he does.
Your dad likes the Westerns.
Yes,
I know that.
Does.
That's The Six Shooter, October 18th, 1953, Rink Larkin, starring James Stewart and a host of other actors, as heard on NBC, a sustained program. Came a little too late to last more than a season. Came to radio in 1953 and just lasted like 52 episodes. But James Stewart, one of the best in the business there, as Britt Ponsett, The Six Shooter. Hope you enjoyed that. Next week, we have six more. Well, actually, tonight.
We'll be back on 11 p.m.
Wow. I got to tell you what. I got to get used to this whole thing.